Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media, the king of tweets.
They have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got our buddy Stephen Little back on the show. Stephen is an expert on business growth, and I know because I've seen him do it. And he's run his own businesses very successfully. He's written a number of books, including new book, Duck and Recover. Also, The Milkshake Moment. You got to check out that book to find out what that means. The seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. He's our good friend, Stephen Little. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Well, you laughed at my jokes last time, so that gets you back automatic. Hey, Stephen, one of the things that I'd like for you to do for a moment is give my audience a little tour of what you're seeing out there. You travel around the country and around the world, and you're putting your finger on the pulse of the marketplace out there. What are you seeing? Are you seeing where do you think we are on the time continuum of recovery? What do you think?
Well, you know, it was Mark Twain that once said all generalizations are false. This one And to generalize is a little tough, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's a radio show. Regionally, things are different. By industry, things are different. But if I had to sum it all up, I would say optimism is certainly up. I don't know that it's based on anything other than people are sick and tired of being
sick and tired.
Yeah. And so it's a little bit of what I call recession fatigue that's going on. The macro numbers certainly are pointing in a good direction, from purchasing manager index to what we're seeing happening in the markets. And so there's reason for optimism. But most people I'm dealing with, their situation hasn't changed in any great way if you're a small business owner. But they're out of their bunker mentality and starting to get out and about and make things happen. And that's a good sign.
Well, it's dealing with the new normal, isn't it?
I think that's it.
It's dealing with the new normal and saying, okay, I can either be struggling and be unhappy, or I can be struggling and be happy.
Yeah, and to assume that things are going to work out, because what choice do you have, you know?
Right.
And that it's a good idea. It's not about being the power of positive thinking. You know, that's for somebody else to talk about. I think it's more that people are realizing that, to get through life, sometimes you just have to assume that things are going to work out for the best because we don't have much choice.
One of the things that, and folks, Stephen and I are grizzled veterans, and we're the kind of folks that tell it like it is. We don't sugarcoat things. We both are positive folks, Stephen, you and I. But I feel a responsibility to my audience to tell things like it is and not to sugarcoat it, but. So in terms of the economy, in terms of Main Street economy, most people I talk to as I travel around, they're not singing happy days are here again, but they are feeling more positive about things. I think the consumer's coming back a little bit. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand that's starting to show its face out there. And so if you're a business owner and you're saying, okay, if the economy is turning, if there is opportunity out there, do I want to continue to grow my business organically, meaning, you know, find the best way to market to these folks who are coming back and grow my business there, try to take as many customers from other people as I can, you know, by being so great and creative, et cetera, et cetera? Or do I want to do that and try to grow through scale, by scaling, by acquiring another company? What are you seeing out there, Steve? What do you think about that?
There's certainly a lot of people. If you're in a good cash position right now, that could mean you've got still a good relationship with a bank, which are tougher and tougher to come by, but some people still have those things. Banks that are lending and banks that value the business and want to give money to the business, or you're kicking off enough cash of your own, or and combinations thereof, then it can be an awfully good time to be thinking about acquisition. And the players that I'm seeing that are the most optimistic out there are the ones that are saying it's a great time for us to be looking for those really great strategic fits to help get our business to another level. And I hear it an awful lot, almost to the point where, like you said, I like to call it like it is. It is a great time to be looking for an acquisition, and it's something you should be doing if
right.
you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing, though, is a lot of people that are getting into it who don't know what they're doing because it looks like a good time, but nothing will get your business in terrible shape more quickly than an ill-advised acquisition.
Scaling, you and I both seen it. When you scale, when you don't have your stars aligned, it can go from a beautiful thing to an ugly thing real quick. Hold on to that thought, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Steve Little and I will be right back. His book is called Duck and Recover. It's new. 20 Till. Stay with us.
Move to New York. Well, New York's fine, but it ain't
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. Little Birds bringing us back there. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, check out my blog, too. Lots of other stuff there you can read, listen, ask questions. Thousands and thousands of pieces of content there that have been developed specifically for you by me and my Brain Trust members, like our good friend Stephen Little, who's with us right now. Stephen has a body of work there that he's deposited with us over the years. And, of course, if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Stephen Little's book is called Duck and Recover, The Embattled Business Owner's Guide to Survival and Growth. Most businesses are starting to, as we said earlier, Stephen, get out of the survival mode in thinking about the growth mode. I'm telling them to, you know, continue to operate for survival, but start thinking about, you know, but also plan for success. And we were talking about whether to grow organically, grow your business organically, one more customer at a time, one on top of the other, or, look around to see if there's a business out there that's compatible, that's somewhat homogeneous, maybe if not exactly compatible, in your city or maybe in a nearby town or whatever, and acquire that company, Stephen. And we were talking about that. You were saying, and I think so correctly, that if you don't have your cornflakes together for such a move, never mind the money. I mean, obviously the money's a given, but you could have the money, Stephen, and if your existing organization isn't prepared for this growth, this kind of growth, if you can't do the handshake between the other people and the other customers and your existing business, and put all that together, it doesn't matter if you got enough cash. You're still probably not going to make it, are you?
Well, it's the advice I give anyone that will listen, which is when it comes to acquisition, there is no such thing as a no-brainer. People come
true.
To me all the time and say, this one's a no-brainer. Steve, look, on paper, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
It's going to get me into the geography I want to be in, or this is just my competitor, and I'll just take on their customers, or this gets us finally into that other vertical we've been trying. And I have to always tell them, it's never, ever going to be what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it's just a given. And if you haven't been through that to know it, then you got to be proceed with caution, caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Right.
You know?
Caveat emptor, right? Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I try as best I can to tell people nothing is going to shoot you in the foot more quickly and more painfully than an ill-advised acquisition. And too often people tell me this is a no-brainer on paper. And here's where usually Jim comes down. And there's lots of ways it falls apart. But strategically, it may be a perfect fit. What happens is the culture, the values, the people don't mesh.
Right.
And that's when you get into real trouble.
And don't underestimate how the customers are going to feel about this change.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
sure.
If you're a small business, there's a pretty good chance a lot of your customers are doing business with you because of how they feel about the way you are right now, the way you operate, the size you are, that sort of thing. Now, you may say, well, I'll have to leave them behind because that's not the size I want to be. Well, fair enough. But don't be surprised if those customers decide that they don't like your new size, your new shape.
I write in the new book about a customer of mine I've worked with for years, about an $8 million manufacturer. They acquired about a $2 million manufacturer that was an aligned product. It was not a competitor, but
right.
It was something that would go perfectly
well. It helped them vertically integrate a little bit.
And they had two big customers that were similar. They went to the big customer and checked with them. Big customer said, no problem. Well, the big customer represented about, two big customers represent about 20% of the business.
Right.
The other 80%, they weren't so on board with it.
Right.
And so they kept the two big ones, but they lost about 80% that they thought
mm-hmm.
they'd have. And mm-hmm. that's where they really...
And that changes your projections, doesn't it?
Well, let's put it this way. He wouldn't do that deal again today.
Right.
And he's pretty... It takes a tough guy to be able to give me the information. He let me use his name and the business's name.
In
the book. And says, I wouldn't do the deal today. And most people would lie and say, well, we've made it work. But he said, hey, I screwed up. And here's an $8 million second generation manufacturing company that almost didn't make it because of this acquisition. And it looked perfect on paper. And it turned out to be a nightmare for them. And it was everything from customers not being on board. When the inventories were delivered, nothing was labeled. They had no idea what they had on their hands. It took them 6 months to sort through that inventory.
Yeah, yeah.
They hadn't been delivering. The company they bought had not been delivering for months or replenishing supplies.
Wow.
Why do it if you've already sold the business? I mean, the whole thing was a nightmare, Jim. And so by the time they got this thing up and running, they really had just reinvented. All they had was a customer list of people that didn't want to buy from them and inventory that nobody wanted to purchase. And
mm-hmm.
so they had done their due diligence, and they knew that this was a good move, and yet it turned out to be a nightmare. So that's what I caution people, have somebody be in – this is what I've done in the small deals I've done, Jim. I've hired somebody to come in and say, I want you to tell me why I shouldn't do this. Your job is to convince me, because I've already convinced myself I want to. Now, you come in and tell me all the reasons why I shouldn't, and listen to that person. And because there's always reasons not to do a deal. Always.
Folks, if you go to my website, in addition to the books that Steve has written on this topic, Seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth, you'll find Stephen on my website also. StephenLittle.com, right, Stephen?
It's Stephen S. Little.
StephenS.com.
Stephen
with a V. But if you go to my website and type in business growth, and then all the articles you see, scroll down, do you see one that I wrote called Business Growth is Not Genetic? I wrote that a few years ago, but the stuff there is still valid. Maybe one of the best articles I've ever written, that I've ever written. Business growth is not genetic. You'll find a lot of good stuff in there that will follow along with what Stephen and I are talking about here. 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Right back with Stephen Little. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Stephen Little, StephenSLittle.com is the website. Stephen S. Little is our good friend and the author of Duck and Recover. Stephen, tell us, I know we can find you on the website, but I know we can find your book there as well, but where else can we find your book?
Yeah, it's going to be on all the BNNs of the world, the Amazons of the world, and certainly any of your Better Business resellers like 800CO Reed.
Yeah, so check those out, folks. Good stuff, whatever Stephen has done. He's written a number of the books, and a couple of them we've launched on this show. Stephen, we're talking about business acquisition. And earlier in the segment, in the hour, we talked about the stuff to be careful about, to make sure that you don't step into some landmines. But there also are some great success stories, aren't there, Stephen, with regard to acquiring a business. It can be a great way to scale, to grow your business by scaling it rather than organically. And when it's done well, And you're doing it for the right reasons, and you got the right pieces of the puzzle together, it can be a great opportunity, can it?
That's it, and it can be in different areas, Jim. Sometimes it's simply about the people you acquire, that you've got expertise in those employees that want to stay on, and when you know they're going to stay on, that can be great. Sometimes,
and isn't this timing right now? If there ever was a time in the last 20 years when you ought to be able to find maybe that special little acquisition opportunity, isn't this like the perfect time for that?
It is. When we look back 10, 20 years from now, we'll see this as a small window opening.
Yep.
When we should have done something. I just say proceed with caution. You don't do it willy-nilly. Just know it's going to always take twice the time and twice the money and twice the heartache than you can possibly imagine. It always does, but you come out the other side. It's like raising children. You know, it's always a lot harder than you think it's going to be.
Would it be a good way to say this, Stephen? To say don't acquire a business, develop a business acquisition strategy. What do you think?
To even go to the point of saying if you're going to be in the acquisition business, develop an acquisition team. The people I see do it the best. There's a guy I write about in the new book that's out in the middle of nowhere, Texas, and he has built one of the best moving and storage companies in the country. Jim, the business is unbelievable and so vertically integrated and gotten into so many things, and he's done it through acquisition, and he's done it slowly but surely. They turn down about 80% of all deals that come their way, and everybody wants to sell to them in their market space. He's got a team of 3 full-time people now. Now, of course, when he was small, he didn't have 3. It was just him.
Right.
But then he taught the other people how to do what he had learned the hard way through the School of Hard Knocks. And now he's got an acquisition team where that's their only job is to look at the opportunities. And here's what they tell me, and it's kind of the point of the chapter in the new book that talks to it, which is there's always great fits on paper. The hardest thing is to find that cultural fit. And when you mm-hmm. find the cultural fit, that's when they make the move.
A lot of business acquisitions that I've seen didn't go through because the new purchaser realized that the culture of the company they were thinking of acquiring just wasn't going to fit. It was going to be too hard to make to put the square peg in the round hole.
You know, I get accused, and I think a lot of people that are experts get accused of overusing sports analogies. But there are certain teams where certain players just cannot go.
Right.
They can thrive in some environments, and they can't make it in other environments.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know in basketball and in football and baseball that these
or Pilates.
Pilates, exactly right. It doesn't matter what the human endeavor is. That there are certain situations where the wrong people can make the whole thing go south. And yet there's other situations where it becomes synergistic. And it brings out the best in others to have new people and new blood. So, yeah, looking for that cultural fit becomes just as important as the strategic fit. And maybe even a little bit more, maybe 50.1% of it is that cultural versus the strategic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, folks, before you fall in love with an acquisition, you know, make sure that you like the kind of, if you could personify it, make sure that you like the person that you're thinking about buying before you fall in love with this acquisition. And a lot of good advice here from our good friend Stephen Little. StephenSLittle.com, right, Stephen?
That's right, StephenSLittle.com.
And if not before, you and I will see each other in Milwaukee in August at the ACCE convention.
We'll be there with bells on.
Looking forward to seeing you then, if we're not before. Thanks, Stephen. Take care.
Absolutely.
Stephen S. Little, ladies and gentlemen, great wisdom on business acquisition. If you get a chance, go back and listen to what Stephen said again. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you, today be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.